letter comes to us from Little Sarah. Little Sarah writes, "Dear George G., would you rather?" I love "would you rather." So much fun. Great job, Little Sarah. "Would you rather work one day a week or 6 days a week?" Oof. Would I rather work one day a week or 6 days a week? I imagine that what prompted this letter was the news that Greece was bucking the trend of the other countries in Europe and probably all over the world. Well, that's probably not true at all. That's probably not true at all of working 4 days a week. I don't imagine that they're working 4 days a week in China, nor do I imagine they're doing that in India or in the majority of the world, frankly, outside of Western countries. So would I rather work 6 days a week or one day a week? And my answer to that question is I'd probably rather work 6 days a week than one. I simply cannot imagine only working one day a week. Now, all of this is dependent and, I guess, reliant on what kind of work you are doing, how you think and feel about work, and all these things. So an enormous amount of nuance. But let me ask you this. What would you prefer? Like, I think that your fast knee-jerk response is one day a week. Just rather work one day a week. And then have the remaining 6 days to do as you pleased. So, and I don't disagree with that. Now, I am a very fortunate person in that I enjoy what I do. And so my perception and beliefs and thoughts about work may be different. I'm sure it's different than other people, just as other people's ideas are different than mine. There's probably some people that want to work every minute of every day and don't want to sleep and just want to keep doing what they're doing. That's not me. I'm interested in having a balanced life, but I am akin and prefer to talk about work-life balance as rhythm. Just be able to have the right, strike the right rhythm, the right pace to all the things that I do, all the different parts of my life. So that's what I'm striving for. So it's never going to be, probably never going to be the same every day. I have varied interests and a lot of things that I want to be able to do. And I'm aware of that because I've given it an enormous amount of thought a ton about the impact I'm interested in having. What do I want to spend my time doing? What the end product is, all of that stuff. What's a great way for me to be spending my time? So that's what I think about. That's what I spend my time thinking about. And so I'm happy with my life and the way things are going. If, on the other hand, you are not, then you're probably more in the one day a week camp. If you believe that work is awful, then you probably want to do a lot less of it. If you love the work that you're doing, you probably want to do more of it. And I'm not sitting here spewing niceties and pleasantries like, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. I've certainly done lots of jobs that I didn't like. And there's certainly lots of parts of my current work that I don't love. But they're a means to an end. They are necessary evils. There, I said I wasn't going to spew niceties at you, and here I am doing it. But you get the idea. So, what is the purpose of work for you? Let's take a big step back, or a step forward, or a lateral step. What do you believe the purpose of work is? To just get a paycheck? Someplace for you to go? Gives you a sense of purpose and meaning? These are all true. What is the purpose of work for you? I think that will then help to better inform your feelings about work, or it will help you to recognize that changes need to be made or that a shifted perspective is required. I'm very fond of saying how you look at something makes all the difference. And I know that over the course of my life, I've felt it necessary and it's been necessary to change the way that I look and think about the role that I'm in or the work that I'm doing and all that stuff. So people talk about work in a lot of different ways. Some people call what they do a vocation, and that signals to me that this is something that you feel deeply about, that you feel strongly about, that you are actually called to doing, that this is a calling. I don't have a job. I am participating in a vocation or a calling. Powerful. Or maybe you work in a trade. So you're a tradeswoman or a tradesman. Maybe you have a job. Maybe you have a shitty job. Maybe you have a shitty soul-crushing job in some cubicle under some awful fluorescent lights where you're constantly having to complete TPS reports and get up and transfer it from the paper or the printer to the copy machine to the scanner to the fax machine and rinse and repeat. And there's crappy donuts that are put out. And you have birthday parties and all this stuff. Who knows? Maybe you're in your first job. Maybe you are towards the end of your career. And all of these different seasons of life and perspectives and perceptions are going to color how you think about how you spend your time. So maybe it's just a means to an end. It's trying to get a paycheck. I've been thinking and having lots of conversations about the idea of the FIRE movement. So financial independence, retire early. And I think that my perspective on that is that it is a fallacy, that it is extremely flawed thinking. I believe that we are designed as human beings to be productive. What do you think? What do you think that human beings are designed to do? Maybe you don't believe that we're designed to work and to produce and to make. Maybe you believe that work is something that is to be overcome. And that's what this FIRE movement is all about. How do I figure out how to sock away enough money so that I can step away from full-time employment? Or maybe you're in a role where you're an entrepreneur. You're your own boss, or you're an intrapreneur and you're in a leadership position, so you don't feel that way. I don't know. But do you believe that work is something to be overcome? And if you do, I submit that you have a negative relationship with what you are doing. And you might be saying, no kidding. Wow. Thanks, George. If that's the case, then hopefully I'll be able to change your perspective, give you something to chew on. That's why I flip the computer open and I hit record, is I really want to give you something to chew on. I want to give you something that's thought-provoking, thought exercises, so you can get closer to the life that you really want. So, and I want you to think about all of it. I want you to really think about, is this how I really want to spend my time? And what would I like to spend my time doing? And it might not be possible, but it might be possible to get closer to it. It's very possible that you could spend a little bit of your day doing what you want to do and just increase that over time. So you incrementally work towards doing what it is that you want to do. And the last thing I want anybody is to feel like they're stuck in some dead-end, soul-crushing job. That's terrible. I don't want you to feel like you're working just to be bringing money home, just to be paying bills. I like to talk about how when I was in Seattle some 15 years ago, there's this beautiful monument to Chief Seattle. And on Chief Seattle's inscription, he wrote this letter to the federal government, to the White House, when they requested to buy his land that today is the area in Seattle. But it was the land that his tribe was living on. And he wrote back and he said, I don't understand. He said, the way that you're doing things just doesn't compute with the way that I do things, that we do things. And if we were to transition to what you're doing, we consider that to be the end of living and the beginning of survival. And in a lot of ways, I think that that's the trap that so many of us have fallen into. And the murder weapon is debt. Think about when we're kids, all we're doing is living, just living every day. Wake up, We ride our bikes. We're just having a blast. We are playing. And then we go to school. We take on a boatload of student loans. And then we get some crappy job to earn money to pay the bills, start paying bills back. And now I've got rent and I've got a car payment. I've got these student loans and I've got insurance. And oh my God, the end of living, the beginning of survival. So that sucks. Totally get it. I'm not interested in that scenario. So if that's where you are, well, let's find a way out. Let's make a plan. And that plan starts with what would you like to be doing? And I don't think that the answer is nothing. I just don't think that the answer is nothing. I think that we human beings are designed to strive, to constantly improve, to be adding, to be additive. Fundamentally, I think that it's my prime directive is the realization of my human potential. And that I ruthlessly pursue that, realize my potential. It's to create, it's to innovate, it's to improve, to make things better. And that comes in so many different forms. It can be building a home, building homes, building office buildings, building roads. It can be making a sculpture. It can be teaching children. It can be writing a poem or a book. It's making, it's creating, it's moving humanity and the conversation along. So I wonder how much, and I think about this, how much I'm adding versus subtracting, or probably better, it's being additive versus being consumptive. How much am I being active versus being passive? How much am I building and creating versus tearing down or just watching? And I'm not saying that I need to be doing this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's just, I want to be moving in that direction. So for you, how much are you adding versus consuming? I don't know. Creating versus consuming, whatever the right term is, whatever that binary is. Jordan Peterson says that meaning is found in responsibility, and I really tend to believe that that's true. I believe that that's it. Look for where responsibility has been abdicated and take it on. Find something heavy and pick it up. Find where there's a need and do what it takes to fill that need. Find the opportunities and rise to rise to meet it, rise up to meet it, rise to the challenge, accept the challenge, take it on, solve the problem. I think about this is true at every level. A security guard is extremely important. A security guard at my kid's school is maybe the most important job in the entire world from my perspective. The crossing guard that helps my child get across the street on their way to school is also extremely important. So, and it could also be that there's a security guard that's sitting on their ass, doing absolutely nothing, eating a donut and not paying attention, just phoning it in. So it's possible to be consuming, or rather, it's possible to occupy the same role and be both a non-additive and to be extremely additive. And you encounter those people on a daily basis. The barista at your favorite coffee shop, you know when somebody's phoning it in versus somebody who's committed to what they're doing. It's obvious. Professional versus amateur. Are you professional in what you're doing, or are you an absolute amateur? Are you extremely competent? Or are you incompetent? Because the secret to all of this is we have been lied to and tricked that we're supposed to just be super passionate about what we're doing, but then expected to step into and have that passion without just automatically. And that's not how it works. It works like this. You get good at something, you work really hard, and you get good at something. And you become a master at it. You achieve mastery. You become awesome at it. You become the best. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to become super passionate about it. then it'd become purposeful work. So the nurse, the doctor, the bus driver, at every level, I don't care what it is, get really good at what you're doing, commit to it, and just see what happens. It might not work. You might find that, okay, well, I took George's advice and I did bust my ass. I did work super hard to get good at this, to become the best completer of TPS reports in the world. And I still hate it. Okay. Well, you took my advice. You followed through on it. You worked hard. You focused. You did it. You gave it all your resources. And now you know. Let's cross this one off and move on to the next opportunity. It's sunk cost. If you're doing everything you can and it's still not working out, best to find a new vessel. As Warren Buffett says, in a chronically leaking vessel, probably best just to jump ship than to keep trying to plug holes. A lot going on there for sure. Is it easier to let go? Is it easier to hang on? Is it harder to let go or to hang on? So, putting up versus taking in. I want to be known as the person who, if my name's on the list, I'm giving it my all. A much more elegant way to say that would be, my name on the rolls means my heart is in the work. That's an extremely powerful statement, one that I did not come up with. So make sure that you are showing up as best you can. Do your best. Do your part by doing your best. Where have I heard that before? Pursue excellence. Pursue personal excellence. Talk a lot about that. Live by a standard. Live to your standard. Do it on a daily basis. So I want to close with one of my favorite stories, which I probably told a dozen times, but well, technically told it probably 1,000 times, but maybe here, the story of the stonecutters. Once it happened that a traveler was traveling along and she came upon a work site. And at this work site, there were 3 stonecutters who were working away. And she was curious as to what they were doing. So she approached the first stonecutter and said, "Excuse me, can I ask you what you're doing?" The first stonecutter looks up, just pissed. She said, "What does it look like I'm doing? Cutting these stupid rocks. I've got the worst job in the entire country. My hands hurt. My head hurts. My back hurts. It all hurts." Traveler's like, "Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry for your trouble. I hope that things turn around for you." Gingerly, she approaches the second stonecutter. She says, "Pardon me, I hate to bother you. Can I ask you what you're doing?" Second stonecutter looks up and she says, very focused, "I am working to become the best stonecutter in the entire country." Traveler, refreshed, relieved, said, "Oh, that is a worthwhile goal. I wish you luck in achieving it." Feeling better about the situation, she moves on to the third stonecutter. She got about halfway to her, and she thought, "Do I hear her whistling a happy tune?" Sure enough, it's exactly what she was doing. She said, "Oh, excuse me, I hate to bother you. Can I ask you what you're doing?" Third stonecutter looks up with a gleam in her eye, and she said, "I'm building a cathedral." So, 3 people doing essentially the same thing, but having a completely different experience. Moral of the story is, how you look at something makes all the difference. It's true of anything you're doing. You're laying blacktop, Phoenix in the summertime. You're slinging coffee. You're a waiter. You're a waitress. You are a financial services professional. You are a school teacher, whatever. Meaning is available to all of us. Purposeful work is available to all of us. Work is something that gives us meaning and community, gives us money and resources and esteem, and it is not something to be overcome. It is something to be embraced, to work hard at, can become an identity. It doesn't need to. I just don't want you to feel terrible about it. I don't want you to feel like you're wasting your life, because you might be, but you don't have to be. So, what do? Somebody asks you what you do. I help people get better at money so they can live how they want. It took me a long time to boil that one down. So, your turn. What do? Thanks for your little Sarah. Appreciate it. Now get back to work, for goodness sakes. As always, friendly reminder. Never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.